This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The majority of Yesterday BT talking about the Jets quarterback situation. What about the Giants quarterback situation? As you're starting to get the feel more and more, we brought this up yesterday. You mentioned Matthew Stafford as a possibility for the Giants. Starting to get the feel now, especially after the Giants hired former Jaguars and Bills wide receiver coach Chad Hall as their assistant quarterbacks coach. He happens to be, not only is he familiar with Dable and Shane, but he happens to be the brother-in-law of Matthew Stafford. Maybe Stafford a realistic possibility here to be the next Giants quarterback.
You know, it's funny. I mentioned this yesterday here, and the Giants have a lot of options. I don't love the options. That's the problem. Like, options are good, but if there's nothing that, and again, this is just me, that I see as a home run fix, then it's just a lot of options that might not equate to what we needed to equate to, and that's eventually competitive, high-octane football for the Giants. And then the Stafford stuff kind of came across the plate. I mentioned this yesterday. Remember, I mentioned this, and...
Did you mention it yesterday?
I know. I said that like three times. Jeez, what are you doing? Looking for a pat on the back? My God, I don't know why I said that so many times. I actually forgot that I said it before.
You did bring it up yesterday.
I did bring it up yesterday. Yeah. I brought it up because I thought it was, number one, I think it's interesting. Number two, I think it's real. Now, as a complete deal killer, there's no way that the Giants give up the third overall pick for him. There's no chance that happens, clearly, right? So if you were to bring in Matthew Stafford, and I do believe that the Rams are done, that the Rams are done with Stafford, and I know they're done with Cooper Kupp. Can I see a situation here next year where you have Stafford, you have Kupp, you have Neighbors, you have a young, cheap, explosive running back? I could. And to me right now, Sal, that is a lot more appealing than throwing a dart and hoping Sanders is the guy who more and more I don't think that he is. There's other layers I don't want to just keep going on, but like if they actually were to get Stafford, then that third spot becomes such a pivotal, a place of power where if you're not going quarterback, now you could trade out, now you could take the best available, the corner, the run stuffer. Like there are some interesting options here because of Stafford.
So his availability, I was just asking Hoff this. Hoff, he's under contract but has an opt-out this year?
He has an opt-out right now.
Okay, yeah. So if he opts out, that's when he becomes a free agent. They're obviously not going to trade for him, so that I wouldn't think that's ridiculous. So he opts out and then the path to free agency, Giants have some money. The more I thought about this last night and then again this morning, I think it's a great fit. Because I don't know what the Giants are thinking. If they love Cam Ward or if they love Chador Sanders, we can only go based off of what we're hearing, who we talk to, people in the know, common sense. It seems like these quarterbacks, it would be a reach to take them with the top three picks or whatever, the first quarterbacks. That's like almost the consensus to everybody, outside, inside the game, whatever. Let's say the Giants don't love Ward or Sanders. They like them, don't love them. Mm-hmm. Then I think I'm in alignment with you that you go get Matthew Stafford, assuming he opts out and is a free agent because you're not trading anything for him. You go get him as a free agent. You have the cap space. He's 37 years of age and a proven veteran quarterback. It's something that, like, he's not going to take you to another level.
Well, no, he would.
I shouldn't say that. I mean, he's not going to take you to the ultimate level, be the franchise quarterback that's going to be a Super Bowl-winning quarterback with the New York Giants, mm-hmm. but he does elevate where the Giants are at immediately and makes them respectable, at least from the quarterback position, some stability, a proven winner, and then makes it a little bit easier to build out the rest of the team when you're not chasing that quarterback and also not starting a rookie quarterback.
Well, are we so sure that he couldn't elevate the Giants to a championship level?
I don't believe so.
Okay, I probably don't either, but he did it with one team. team, and he almost did it again this year.
But I mean, he is 37.
Understood.
He did it with McVay and with that. And I didn't even think they were that good then, to be honest with you. I mean,
I didn't either. But yeah. I think a lot of it was because of Stafford. Yeah. You know, and obviously McVay's innovation. But I think Stafford elevated them to a level that they probably didn't really belong at based on the rest of their talent.
Well, it's not the franchise. Maybe the better way to say it is it's not the franchise quarterback that I would be looking for. You know, meaning like you just pencil him in, that's it, and give you the hope. Like, you know, like Jaden Daniels a year ago, or the thought of Cam Waters-Sanders being the guy and bringing that excitement. That's not what this is. But if you strip away that excitement and say, well, he's 37, just turned 37, which means he should have at least a couple of good years left.
His arm talent's still elite. It really is.
So imagine building that foundation, and maybe to your point, he can elevate them to a playoff level, who knows? So you build that foundation while also not only building up the rest of the team, but still searching and not forcing your hand at the next quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, Sal, you tell me who played better. Was it Matthew Stafford in the snow against the Philadelphia Eagles, or was it Patrick Mahomes in a dome against the Eagles?
Yeah, I thought Stafford played a terrific game.
He did. I mean, he really did. That last throw that got away from him, I mean, it was really tough, whether it just kind of slid out of bounds. But he was making some tight window, tough throws against a great defense, obviously the Super Bowl champions now. And, you know, Stafford is used to going to situations that are fairly moribund. He was drafted by the Lions. He had some early injuries. He certainly elevated them, not to the highest level, but he definitely pumped some life into them. I just think he's got, I think he's an easy leader. I know he's got a rocket front arm. And I the only thing that I would have to wrestle with, and I want you to get first crack at this, like, if you make a move like this, you know, like the Jets making the move for Rodgers, now it didn't work out, but, you know, go back a couple of years ago, the Jets made that move because they thought they were a Rodgers away from maybe messing around and winning a championship, or at least being there in the mix to do so. Do we believe, now we know that Stafford would make them much better and certainly viable, but when you look at the state of the NFC East, let alone the NFC, is it worth it at his age and with the rest of the Giants roster? Yeah, that's the important question.
Okay, is it worth it? Well, what are the other options?
Draft a kid at 3.
Okay, well, that's why I say I think it's, to me, it all comes down to what they feel about this quarterback class. Like, if I were Brian Daboll and I loved Cam Ward or Shador Sanders, I'm doing whatever, same thing for Joe Shane, I'm doing whatever I can to get one of those two guys. I'm not saying, well, Stafford's better. If I don't absolutely love one of those two guys, I'm like, then I'd say, here's what the best plan is. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they're weighing all these options, and they go over it the same way we're talking about it.
Yep.
Just they have the expertise. We don't necessarily.
Do they? I mean,
I was going to say, at some point they have to start showing it.
Yeah.
But they would weigh the options. Okay, do we, quote unquote, reach for, let's say, Shador?
Uh-huh.
Or go get Stafford where you know what you're getting. That's what I love about Stafford. I've never loved Stafford as a quarterback. I thought he was overrated. He's going to be a Hall of Famer because he won the Super Bowl, put up big, gaudy numbers, whatever. But I've always thought he's overrated. But we know what he is. He's a pro quarterback who can help you win games immediately, be a leader, all those different things.
I think he's terrific.
Yeah,
I think he's terrific.
He's a good, very good player. Now, at 37, okay, there's some question marks, but he's far better than any of the other options. Sam Darnold, Kirk Cousins, even Justin Fields, like any of those options.
And that's where I was going.
Right. So to me, he seems the most known commodity. Rodgers, throw him in there. I think Stafford's a better option at this particular point, especially for the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
So of all the other options, I think he's the best. The only question is, do you love the idea of Ward or Sanders and their potential versus the known commodity of Stafford at 37?
That's a very subjective thing. That's a very individual thing. Myself, I don't. I like Cam Ward better than Sanders, and I don't even love Cam Ward. And, you know, the Shador Sanders stuff has nothing to do with, you know, the Deion stuff or, you know, whether it's, you know, maybe a bit of a misplaced ego in college. I mean, I don't get too wrapped up in that. He grew up with Deion's son. He's going to know how to comport himself, how to work hard. He's going to be a pro. I'm not worried about
right,
that.
Right, think he's good.
Yeah, but I just don't know if he's good enough. Right. I really don't. I don't love the conference he played in. I don't love his throwing mechanics. He's not an elite athlete. He's not like his measurables. He's not like 6'5 or 6'4, 230. He's not. He's kind of counter to a lot of the explosive quarterbacks now, where he's a good athlete, but he's not amazing. So really, it comes down to this. At number 3, and you nailed it, do you love Sanders or do you love Cam? Now, if you love Cam, I think you're going to have to move up from 3 to 1 or 3 to 2 to get him. I don't think you're going to have to necessarily move up from 3 to get Shador. But I'll let them deal with that.
Right.
How do you evaluate the young quarterbacks? If the answer is lukewarm or below that, well, now you get to the next choice of options. And the next choice of options would be, What's the quickest way to elevate our franchise? Because now, if you don't draft the kid at number three, you better start winning some games, which means you better get a quarterback who's going to get you in the end zone 25 to 30 times this year. And I know that Stafford would do that. I think Darnold would do that. But I think that the Raiders now are going to go after heavy for Darnold. I saw that today. Nobody else out there intrigues me enough. Maybe Justin Fields. Sal, the more I think about this, this should be a very viable play for the Giants.
Yeah, I'm with you. I wasn't really thinking. Well, that, I mean, is a whole nother level. And also, by the way, think about Stafford, a veteran quarterback, a proven quarterback, also helping along a young Malik Nabers or some of the younger guys that the Giants have. I think there's great value in it, even though I really wanted right now, and I wanted it last year, a franchise quarterback for the Giants, meaning one that we could hold our hopes on that could be the guy moving forward. I think there's a lot of appealing pieces to bringing in Stafford to this team right now. They could fit him in with the cap. You get a proven veteran winner. The Giants, and specifically Shane and Dable, you know what the owner wants. They need wins now.
Yeah.
He could help them do that. And then, to your point, you could use that third pick to help Stafford and the rest of your team, whether it's a piece on the offensive line, a defensive stuff, whatever it may be, you know, whatever they decide to do with that third pick.
He could trade out at that point big time.
The only reason I would not want this option is if they love Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders.
It's a good read. Yeah.
If you love either of those two guys, then you do whatever it takes to get him.
Well,
if not, then Stafford, I think, is the second best option.
All right, I know people want to jump in on this. We'll get the calls, but why not? Let's at least throw this, because I don't know that we've included this as an option. We've given you three. If you love one of those kids, why not draft Sanders or Ward and get Stafford?
Well, to me, the issue is you're going to have to pay Stafford a significant amount of money.
Sure, you got the money.
And I would think that he would... Now, again, I'm sure he'd want to be a mentor, but you're talking about at least 2 years. Right, this is different from Rodgers because of the age. Jets got Rodgers at 39, right?
Yes.
Stafford's 37. So you're talking about
just 2 years. Just turned 37,
Also, Stafford's not going to be coming here to try to make this team a Super Bowl winner the way that the Jets thought they were getting Rodgers to be the finishing piece on a Super Bowl team. Meanwhile, they weren't even 500 team, so that was just so ridiculous. This is totally different circumstance, but I don't believe that it would benefit Stafford or the Giants, or whoever they draft, if they brought him in here with the idea of having to be the guy for the next 2 to 3 years while drafting one of those top guys. You want to tell me somebody later in the draft? I'm not opposed to that.
Why, though? You don't think that he would want to work under those conditions? Because it's not like Kurt Warner with Eli. I get you, but I think that Stafford's got more game at this point than Kurt. But then again, Kurt went to the Cardinals and played very well.
Right, he doesn't want to I'm assuming he's going to want to go somewhere and play for the next 2 years.
He is going to play.
Right, so what are you going to do? Sit Sanders for 2 years? Like, to me, that's almost then...
A waste of a pick.
Well, you're half-weighing it. I'm a no gray area. I want to either, okay, this is the plan. Stafford... an additional player to help build this foundation and win.
Yeah.
We'll figure out the quarterback over the course of the next 2 years. Again, you could take somebody later, but I'm not taking a top pick. And if you were going to do that anyway, that means you love that player. And in today's day and age in the NFL, you want to get a read on what these guys are at the very least by year two.
Because of the money for the second contract. Right? But think about this, Sal. Like, if Kirk Cousins didn't just bomb the final 7 weeks of the season, and Kirk Cousins had a Kirk Cousins, you know, vintage year, then the Falcons would have been doing what I'm saying. By the way, that's not my first plan for the Giants. I'd rather trade out and just, you know, a boatload of assets plus Stafford plus Kupp and move on from the third spot. But if Cousins was balling this year, then they would have had the same exact thing that you're saying that the Giants shouldn't want.
So here's the difference.
With Penix.
I don't believe Atlanta went into that draft looking to take an additional quarterback. One that they loved happened to be there, and they took him. So let's say that the Giants love Cam Ward but not Sanders, and somehow Ward falls to three. Then you want to convince me to take him? Okay, fair enough.
Okay,
I don't think it's the worst thing in the world.
So we're open to pretty much four or five things here from the Giants' perspective.
Point is, I'm starting to get the feeling, and I think you're in agreement, that Stafford to the Giants,
I love him,
takes them up to a level of, you know what, maybe they can be respectable and compete immediately with the weapons around them and be a better team than we thought, which can help them maybe expedite the process here. BT and Sal on the Fan of getting back to respectability. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Brian is in Syosset. What's up, Brian?
Hey, bud.
Hey, what's up? Good morning, guys. You know, this Stafford thing's a great conversation to have, but the kind of elephant in my car right now is while it's improved the offensive line, Stafford's not going to run the ball all over the field.
No.
You know, the one thing about Jones is at least he could take off. So So, you know, even though a stopgap works no matter who we take, as long as he's decent, that's going to be a real problem. And if he's getting sacked all over the place early, it's going to be a big problem very quickly.
I hear you, and that's been a problem for the Giants forever. What's the difference, though? Wouldn't you rather, and maybe the answer is no, I think I would rather have Stafford behind a little bit of a suspect. By the way, you can always get one more guy, and it's going to be better next year. But I'd rather have Stafford behind a bit of a shaky old line than a kid like Cam Ward and Sanders, who don't even know what they're reading in front of them, where they could get sacked 45 times in a year and they could be ruined.
Look,
Stafford gets hit, Neil. He's used to getting hit.
I mean, the Giants' season, yet again, is going to come down to the health of Andrew Thomas like it always does, right? And not only that, that's another reason why I say, well, if you get Stafford, I want to use that third pick. I mean, if there's a stud lineman that they want, I mean, Abdul Carter is a appealing piece if he's there.
You think?
But yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. So you just take the best player available, which should help you in other areas. And then maybe in free agency, if you take Carter, let's say, then in free agency, go out there and beef up the offensive line. Obviously, we know that with Stafford here, he's not going to be a mobile quarterback. That's never really been his game at all. So they got to figure out a way to get the ball out of his hands quickly or protect the quarterback better. And that starts with getting Thomas healthy. If he's not healthy, what are they supposed to do? They're going to be screwed again.
Yeah. But you're kind of like glossing over it. I actually think that they could get Cooper Kupp too. I think that those guys are so tight.
Here's why I'm glossing
over it. I think Cooper Kupp would follow him here.
Yeah, maybe, but I don't, like, that does nothing for me. Just
Cooper Kupp's tremendous.
But again, you don't win. I want inside out.
I got you.
It's just my fault. Like,
and fair.
Giants already have neighbors. I'm not saying Kupp wouldn't be a solid addition. But I want them to build inside out.
You don't want the Cadillac hood ornament. You want an engine that's going to purr.
Yeah,
I think you could do both saying.
Maybe, but if you're telling me that it's either Stafford and a lineman or Stafford and Kupp, I want Stafford and the lineman.
I would agree with that, too.
That's just my thing.
I would agree with that.
And Cooper Kupp, whatever, at this point.
Cooper
I know he's banged
still
up last
really
year.
Good, dude.
Yeah, he's good. I know, I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's like a number two, number three next to neighbors.
I'm curious why Stafford would be available. Like,
because they don't want to pay him.
Right, but why not?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I know, and you're right. Who cares? Because that's their problem. But just thinking through the logistics of why Stafford would be available, and if he were, why we, you and I, or people in New York would want him. Like, look at all the other options. They're all question marks, crappy. Even Fields is like, I'm not sure. Darnold, whatever. I mean, Kirk Cousins, God knows. So, like, if the Rams are going to move on from Stafford because they don't want to pay him, which I respect, then I would think that they're going to look to go in a younger, different direction.
Remember, they already had their Super Bowl, so they can already reset. They've got that built-in equity.
And they major problems with the cap, right? Because they trade all their draft picks. They sold their soul.
For about 5 or 6 years, they didn't have any first-round picks. They kept doing that for sure. And you know, eventually, you got to pay the piper. You can only kick that cap stuff down the road so much. That's why the Rodgers thing, yesterday we said, I said, just take it all in 1 year rather than spreading out the $35 million in addition to next year. But I think that the Rams want to go younger, and here's the only problem that I see from a Giants perspective. When he opts out of his contract with the Rams, because of the flaws of all the other guys, you're gonna have a massive bidding war.
Right.
But Stafford's getting paid again.
Which is why we say a fit for the Giants and not necessarily the Jets, because the Jets aren't gonna have the cap space that the Giants could to pay that quarterback.
Correct.
You know what? Again, even just thinking this through, the Giants have been such a beaten down franchise, mocked to the point where planes are flying over saying, fire everybody, sell the team, all that stuff. Stafford changes that immediately. I don't know how the results are going to be, but all of a sudden now you have a proven Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Yep.
Doesn't come with the baggage, right or wrong, that Aaron Rodgers comes with.
I agree.
It's a good fit for them and what they would be trying to do, at least in the short term. Dan is in Belmar. What's up, Dan?
Hey, what's up, guys? Loving this conversation. I agree with both of you. Stafford makes the most sense. He's not a crapshoot like Sanders will be or even Cam Ward will be. And it makes them competent and competitive immediately. And that's all we're asking for as Giants fans after watching this crap for, the past 5 years. Finally, you bring this guy in. If Kupp comes with him or he doesn't come with him, it doesn't really matter to me. But bring Kupp in too. Perfect. He still has an explosive arm and he'll unlock neighbors. He'll unlock Wandale Robinson and he'll unlock Jalen Hyatt. It'll be a perfect fit for the Giants and for Stafford.
Theo Johnson, too, who I really like. Right. I like him as a tight end.
Much better than Jalen Hyatt. I don't know if there's anybody that could unlock Jalen Hyatt, but Theo Johnson, yes. I like the way that the caller just said, and it's kind of like we talked about with St. John's, how I was saying, okay, well, can you be a legit contender in the Big East tournament? Check. Can you be a legit tournament Like
not sweating out selection
check.
Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, you check. And then, like, so there's levels of building it back up.
I agree.
With the Giants, you're not going to go from zero to, oh, my God, we're going to beat the Eagles. So this is a major step. If you could get Stafford, that brings you back to the caller's point, back to respectability, instant credibility, and some competency
yes.
around here for a change. That's the next step. Then from there, they can figure out where they're going to get the franchise quarterback and how they're going to get to the next level. But let's take baby steps here. I think Stafford goes a long way in
this. Listen, I'm totally with you. You and I totally agree. So far, Giant fans are really feeling this. I'm not surprised at all. If you watch the NFL, you know Stafford could still play. There is nothing to interpret. Does he still have the arm? Does his body hold? He is still a stud. And you're right. You're not going to go from the acquisition of Stafford to, you know, necessarily beating the Eagles regularly, Super Bowl champions. But I'll tell you what you're not going to do either. You're not going to lose. You're not going to win one game in the NFC East. You're not going to, you know, have a point differential of minus 190. Like, you're not going to be embarrassed every single right. Sunday. And I do think a lot of people mess this up. They're like, well, if you're not building to win the Super Bowl, why bother? Like, why build, even though it's much more attractive than being a doormat, like, why build less than if it's not for the ultimate accomplishment? Well, I get that fundamentally, but there's nothing written that says, well, maybe they become a wild card team with Stafford, and then in a year or two, they stumble upon a franchise quarterback down the road. Like, I don't know, the Eagles did.
Right. Right. That's the
Let's exact, go, Giants.
There you go. That's the exact way to think about it at this point. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. More of your calls when we come back. We'll get into the baseball stuff, some Knicks later on. A lot to do on this Tuesday on the Fan. BT and Sal back on the Fan. The only question to me, BT, is we're talking Matthew Stafford to start the show here. We'll get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. The only question is, does he actually become available? And that's why I'm saying, like, I have my doubts only because, and I know it seems like that's going to be the case, but I have my doubts only because it doesn't make any sense when you have a quarterback like this is not Atlanta where Cousins is going to become available all of a sudden because they have Michael Penix, or at least I don't know about it. Who's the next guy for the Rams? I mean, it seemed like Stafford, all of a sudden, well, he might opt out and then that's going to be it for the Rams because they don't want to pay him. They're going to be in trouble. I guess maybe the way is that it's not their decision, right? He opts out.
Yeah.
And then he just wants the most money, and they can't give it to him because of where they're at financially. They don't want to give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're going to find themselves in trouble. Maybe that makes a little bit more sense here. But I'll believe it when I see it once he officially does become available. And if he does, I do think it's the best option, all included, meaning Ward and Shedeur Sanders. I think it's the best option for the Giants.
So do I. And the writing is on the wall. Now, you know, his, Kelly?
Yeah, Kelly.
Kelly, right? She does the podcast, and I remember saying this, I saw it a week ago, and I think I referenced it recently, too, where she basically said goodbye. She said goodbye to the Rams, goodbye to L.A. in her own way, and I listen, I think the player movement now, you know, whether it's Aaron Rodgers, whether it's Tom Brady, you know, these, you know, not that Kirk Cousins on that level, but Kirk Cousins has bounced around, that I think that the veteran quarterback at this point is much more amenable to change
right.
than they ever were. And I just think that Stafford, you know, based on her intonation and what she was saying, I don't feel like she feels like her husband's been respected there lately. And she seems to have a lot of weight in terms of carrying a lot of weight in what's being said.
Now, I'm just trying to read some more of this stuff here because I'm a little confused by this. Hoff, I asked before what his status was, and he said that there was an opt-out. And then I'm reading some of the headlines. Stafford landing spots, Steelers, Giants among best fits if Rams make the veteran QB available for the trade. So I'm confused as to
I said it was a trade. I thought it was a trade.
All right, let me just read this a little bit further here. All right, the veteran quarterback, this is according to CBS Sports here, has 2 more years remaining on his contract, but there's just a $4 million guaranteed on his $49.6 million cap hit. Then in 2026, there are no guarantees in the contract. So I don't know what Hoff is talking about. Hoff, where'd you see this option? What are you seeing there with this option?
Spotrek has a potential out of 2025.
Yeah, well, whatever. I mean, I'm not sure about that. Then now it seems like it's going to be a trade. Obviously, if it is a trade, it's not going to be for the top.
No. I'm not giving up number three.
Well,
no,
I mean, come on. You wouldn't even give up. You're not giving up a second round pick for Matthew Stafford.
I mean, the Jets did.
Yeah, I'm all. and we saw how that worked out. Yeah. And by the way, you know, Stafford, he's 2 years younger, but he's also not the pedigree that Rodgers is.
No.
And it's a different spot where I'm not, like the Giants, I think it'd be a great fit. I'm not that desperate to go get Matthew Stafford if he's available at a reasonable price. Like, I'm not mortgaging the draft.
No, but I would be. I'm not going to mortgage number three for sure, but I would be very, very highly desperate if I don't love Sanders and Ward.
Right.
If the Giants don't love it. And now, Maybe there's a third, you know, not a Jalen Milroe type, but somebody else, Dart, whatever, that they think that they can maybe scoot back significantly in the draft and get, which I think could be possibly in play. Well, then that's a viable route. But if they don't love any quarterback in round one, you've got to bring somebody in. You can't. You just can't keep this up anymore where you can't score.
Right. No, I get it. And it sounds like, by the way, it might be the Rams option here as opposed, maybe that's where Hoff's getting that from.
Well, because I think this is where it's less, at least punitive for them to get out of
right,
it.
Right, exactly.
That's the point, right there.
Right, you just nailed it. Right. So if they, but the way that it was explained, like I thought maybe I misunderstood that, what Hoff was saying, that there was an option that makes it seem like Stafford could opt out and get more money. That is not the case. So I was wrong for saying that. It is the Rams option to either continue along with him where they're going to suffer more consequences
yes.
financially down the road, or get out now where there's just a $4 million guaranteed of his almost $50 million cap hit, which then you do the math. So it's up to them, and I'll still believe it when I see it, to decide if they want the better player or if they're worried about the finances moving forward. They just went to the playoffs again this year. Like, you tell me you're not going to still try to capitalize on that window?
I think he's done. I think it's already been decided. I think he is absolutely gone.
Yeah.
I do.
And then if that's the case, then maybe the Giants go get him. Mike is in Poughkeepsie. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike.
Guys, first of all, there is no opt-out, man. I'm glad you cleared it up, because all it is that there's $4 million in guarantees, so they could cut them and just give them $4 million bucks instead of taking a $40 million
right.
cap hit.
Right.
But the reason I called, which is fine, that stuff's confusing anyway, but why I really called is, guys, 37 years old, has made over $350 million. Why in God's name would he go to a team that won one game and has no offensive line? Like, why would a guy want to end his career there after being a Super Bowl champion when Sal yourself is saying even he wouldn't bring them beyond like a 9-8 season? Why would a guy
maybe he's
and if you're going to bring up money, if you're going to bring up money, he's earned over $350 million. So he's going to sign with a team that you guys are saying is probably going to get murdered because of a crappy offensive line anyway.
No, I don't think the O-line's as bad as I don't think the O-line's as bad as it used to be. I don't.
Good point, Mike, and thank you for the call. Now, he brings up a fair point. Don't we talk about this yesterday when you mentioned a BT? Why would he want to come here? Well, maybe the New York market is appealing to him and his wife.
Bingo.
It is the New York Giants organization. It used to be a well-respected organization. Maybe he likes Brian Daboll. I mean,
his brother-in-law's working here now?
That's a big part of why
Plus
we started
his brother-in-law. No, depends.
Well,
you never know.
Brother-in-laws can be rough sometimes. No, but
I got good ones. Yeah, but yeah, I've heard horror stories.
Too,
I think I got good ones too.
Great, that's one of the reasons why we started the show talking about it, because it seems like there's more to it than just, well, he might be available and the Giants need a quarterback. The fact that his brother-in-law does get hired,
yes,
it's, I don't know if that's coincidental or not, but that's a part of it. Also, think about where his other options would be, because generally, the quarterback-needy teams aren't that good anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, you want to tell me Pittsburgh? Sure, everybody always just says, well, Pittsburgh. Yeah, because they're well-coached with Tomlin and because they're usually in the playoffs, but I mean, what's going to happen in Pittsburgh? Are they going to go win the Super Bowl with Matthew Stafford? No. They're not going to win the Super Bowl. They're not going to be as good as the top AFC team. So what is – and again, I don't know the cap situation. Maybe they have more money or similar money, but I don't think that – if Stafford is prioritizing winning and wanting to win a Super Bowl, certainly the Giants are not going to be the spot where he wants to land. But you don't know what all the other options are for
him. That's a good point.
And they have the money, and they have his brother-in-law in the building now, and it is New York, where I do think that still means something, especially if your wife is trying to, which she is, get mm-hmm. out there and do certain things. Didn't she go through, she had brain tumor?
She had brain cancer.
God bless her, man.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Yeah, she did. Dealing with that.
Very young.
So, but she clearly wants to get out there and have her name being heard for whatever reasons that it is. I'm not really that familiar with it.
Very brand-oriented.
Okay, well, I mean, it is New York and media market. You know.
Hey, and listen, by the way, the shadow of Eli Manning has now dissipated. I mean, it's not like Eli just retired, and like everybody's like, oh, we miss Eli. I mean, you miss Eli because Eli won the two championships and eventually he's going to get in the Hall of Fame. But, you know, why would the Giants be appealing to Stafford? Well, for the reason Sal just said, but also they have a great history, but they're down. And there's something appealing, I think, and attractive about going into a situation that has the cachet and the, even though the Giants' respect is down clearly, but they're still the Giants. And going when they're down, and any elevation will be more of an elevation if you did it for, say, the Tennessee Titans or the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, they've got the Jaguars, not going to Jaguars. But, You know what I mean? Like, if he could just bring the Giants back to respect on some level, it's kind of like getting back to a Super Bowl. And I don't have any doubt that he would. I know he could play. I know we keep talking about the O-line, and it's not good, but it's not nearly as bad as it was for years. It's at least getting functional. You know, you got neighbors. I think you could get Cup. I really like Theo Johnson. You've got some other young receivers. You got Dexter Lawrence. You got a couple of pass rushers. You need a safety. You need one more O-lineman. You got a cheap running back who's dynamic. I mean, really, Giants aren't like, I know that they seem incredibly far away, and they are from a championship, but they're not far away from being week-to-week interesting, exciting, and relevant. And yeah. Stafford gets you that.
And also, look at these. So again, I'm going off this article by Jordan Johnny. I just want to give him credit for CBS Sports, I believe this is here. Talking about the potential landing spots, just to the caller's point. Like Pittsburgh.
Okay,
we know what they are.
Yeah.
Giants. Vegas. Like, yeah, all right, Vegas has Pete Carroll and Chip Kelly in place, but are they closer than the Giants to winning Super Bowl?
No.
The complete opposite.
I think they're further.
Yeah, exactly.
I really
right.
do.
Me too. Vikings, which that would be, I guess, the best spot. You're talking about in the dome. He's familiar with the division.
Well, you just drafted J.J. McCarthy. We've been sitting down for years.
I'm just saying. I'm just going off
this
list.
He's not going to the Vikings.
I'm just saying off of this list. And Tennessee is the other one.
He's not going to Tennessee.
Right. So
although they look like they love country music. I could see them actually enjoying that city, but he's not going to Tennessee.
Yeah, well, and they're not close to winning anyway. Just to the caller's point about Stafford, if money's not going to motivate him, and he wants to win at this point, well, where is he going to go? Why would he come to the Giants? Well, look at all those other options. They're not any good. I think he's staying with the Rams. I don't see that the Rams are going to let him go. It just doesn't make any sense.
I think he's gone, dude. And by the way, if there's Giant fans out there who are like, you know, oh, if he's so good, why don't you take him on the Jets? I wish, but they can't afford him because they got to keep paying Rodgers.
That's the whole
point. I'd take him in a heartbeat.
Lawrence is in Oklahoma City. Okay, what's up, Lawrence?
Hey, guys. You know, when I think about the Giants next year in Stafford, like how much is he really going to elevate things for us when we have such a difficult schedule? Our secondary is so poor. The offensive line is just a little bit better, but it's still not very good. I feel like it's like just time to rip the Band-Aid off and just suck it up. Let's get a rookie quarterback, feed him to the fire and see what he can do. And that's how legends are made. Feed him to the fire, baby.
Yeah, Lawrence, hold on a sec, though. That sounds okay, provided you like the quarterback that you're getting in the draft. And I don't know that they do.
Right, you're not choosing Stafford over a quarterback that you love just because he's a proven veteran. You're taking him because you believe he's the best option because you don't love either of the other two.
To me, it's a matter of, like, we've sucked for so long, I'm tired of watching this team be unappealing on TV, and I'd rather have a rookie quarterback go in there so at least I can have the feeling that we're building towards something.
Good luck with that, Lawrence. I'm sorry.
That's flawed to me, Sal. Yeah. That is a flawed way of looking at it.
That's how legends are born, baby. No, that's not.
That's how legends are destroyed, like Carr in Houston.
Bingo.
Got sacked 68 times.
That's how quarterbacks are ruined. I mean, come on. We've seen that too many times over. Doesn't mean that it can't work with the right guy, with the right coaching, in the right setup. And I think that for the Giants, it's not even that they don't have the right coaching or the right setup. It's that they may not love any of these quarterbacks. You don't just say, well, he's a rookie quarterback. Let's pick him and see what he's got. I get the enticement of that, the appealing nature of a young, unknown, electrifying, potentially, you know, athletic quarterback.
Franchise all-three quarterbacks. As do I. But you got to love the kid.
And according to a lot of the experts, doesn't mean that they're right.
Yeah.
Man, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders would not be top picks. Like, if you put them in last year's draft, they wouldn't be top pick quarterbacks. Not even close to that. So
there's a false elevation because of the need of the position.
Right. There's reaching for that. And that's what I wouldn't do. Now, if Brian Daboll and Joe Shane love Cam Ward or love Shedeur Sanders, then go get him.
Dan, I'm with you on that.
Different story. So it's a matter of what they really want. Although I like the thought of Matthew Stafford a lot more. I don't know if it's realistic. Is everybody making
I think it's highly realistic, Sal. I think it's going to be resolved in weeks, actually. That's how fast I think this is going to get done. I think he's gone. I think he's off the Rams.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something else. Like, you know, those of you, and we took calls on this, and listen, I said, so I'm not gonna go back on my word, or at least my position, I would not have brought back Shane and Daboll. You and I said the same thing based on some circumstances. Okay, they're back. Those of you who called us, and I respected this, a lot of you said, well, Daboll's actually drawn up some good plays, but Daniel Jones isn't pulling the trigger. He's missing this guy, Flea Flickers, in Germany. Remember all the plays where it wasn't just Jones, other Giant quarterbacks just didn't throw the ball? Do you think, and guys were open, do you think if Stafford's on this team and that play is designed that Stafford's not hitting that guy in the numbers.
Right, of course
it's a touchdown.
Is. Yeah, right. That's exactly
it's
right.
Six.
And you would rather watch Drew Lock? I mean, look, and, come on. Stafford would be of all the other options, Stafford would be the most appealing outside of a potential draft, drafting a quarterback if they love him. Right, BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019.
But they give me a
BT and Sal back on the fan. Yesterday, BT, we did mention it with the Michael Strahan waving the Eagles flag, which I thought was a bit much. It crossed the line to me. I don't know why Strahan was doing that. Like, what good is going to come of that for him? And we also heard from some of his teammates speaking out. Amani Toomer made some headlines yesterday, what he had to say about Strahan.
I was very surprised about that. Listen, I don't know Michael Strahan very well. I mean, I don't know him at all. I know Amani fairly well. I really like Amani Toomer. But I was stunned at that. That was a ridiculous take for me.
A Toomer was saying that he agreed.
Basically having Strahan's back with this. And if you missed it, basically the gist was, you know, Amani and even Strahan saying this to an extent, like, hey, you know, it's up to them to get their act together. It's, you know, not up to us to just carry the water for a bad franchise, which I do agree with. Of course, the Giants have been a train wreck here. But there are certain just lines that you don't cross over. And, you know, for somebody like Strahan not to see it, for somebody like Amani, who was so uber competitive, he's ridiculously competitive in a good way. I don't know how he glossed over that and rubber stamped what Strahan did. That's mind-boggling to me.
It's just stupid.
What are we doing?
It's just out of touch. I don't understand how you could think that that's okay. As a former Giant, forget Toomer for a second. I'm more concerned about Strahan here, although I was surprised that anybody would back him up. Like I get it in theory. Yeah, the Giants think it's their own fault. That doesn't mean you should go out there waving the flag of the Eagles. You want to say, and we talked about this yesterday with Tran, you want to say you want to root for Saquon Barkley? Understood. He was a Giant. He's a great guy. You want to root for him? Totally have no issues with that. You want to pick the Eagles. You want to say that you want the Eagles to win the Super Bowl? No problem with that. When you start waving the flag of a team that is the rival of a team that your number is retired and you're on the Ring of Fame, whatever you want to talk about. Like, that is just... You think Eli Manning would ever even consider
doing it? Not a chance in hell.
Of all the bits that they do on TV, I guarantee you'd be like, are you out of your mind? They'd never do that. Derek Jeter would never do that. You think, by the way, if a Nick did that, James Dolan probably wouldn't let him back in a building.
Well, think about how much, you know, heat some of the Knick players caught, especially Carl Anthony Towns, when he was wearing the Eagles sweatshirt on the bench.
Right.
And it's not like he's a former Giant.
Correct.
And he still got lit up by many people, including you. So, listen, and I don't think you were wrong in that. It didn't bother me as much, but I certainly knew where you were coming
from. In Philly, no less.
No, I know.
It's not just that he wore an Eagles thing, which is, you're a New York team. You wore an Eagles thing in Philadelphia when your team is playing the Sixers.
It was down there.
Dude.
Listen, if I've got to assign blame, like levels of culpability here, and I don't want to make this like state secrets and, you know, espionage, whatever, so serious. But if I've got to assign those levels of blame, I think I might surprise you with this. Ironically, I'm bothered more by Amani's comments. I'll tell you why. Because Strahan, you know, and he doesn't play the goofball on TV. I'm not trying to just, you know, talk out of school and sound like a lunatic here. But sometimes you can get wrapped up in doing goofy things for TV.
Yes.
And again, I don't exonerate him for doing it. It's awful. You can't do that from a Giants perspective, wave that stupid Eagles flag. But all right, you're wrapped up in the moment. Super Bowl, your boy Saquon. We all respect Saquon. I get it. He's a great person. But it was a little bit of a goofball act. And all right, he got wrapped up in the moment. Amani, I believe was the next day on a radio interview when he was, you know, he had time to compartmentalize and he wasn't doing it for TV. He was just giving his reaction to what a former teammate and a great champion of his, like Amani himself, what his interpretation of it. So I almost think that I would be more offended by Amani saying it's okay than Strahan actually doing it. I know that sounds twisted.
Yeah, to me, here's why. I think Strahan, he's smarter than that. Like, what good is coming of Strahan waving that flag? I really don't care what Amani Toomer says. That's why maybe I don't have a big deal or a big issue with it. I was surprised that he wouldn't just come out and take the layup and be like, yeah, Michael can't do that. He went too far by waving the Eagles flag, but he felt like he wanted to have his voice heard. And by the way, if he did say that, we wouldn't be talking about it, right? So the fact that people are talking about what he said afterward, maybe that's what he wanted. Who the
hell
knows?
I'd be like, that a boy, Amani, that was great. That's what he's supposed to do.
It probably wouldn't have made news as much as it does when you're sticking up for Strahan. My thing with Strahan is like, all right, the producers go to you with that idea. Like, what good is coming from Strahan from that whole thing?
I honestly don't know.
There isn't any. You're only going to annoy the fans that love you. I would not be shocked the next time he goes there to be honored for whatever it is that the Giants are doing, rolling him out there, that he gets booed for that, and he should get booed.
Maybe he should get booed.
You can't be waving an Eagles flag.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on,
honestly,
dude.
That was just that's the height of, like,
and by the way, like,
rivalry stuff, that is a breach of love. Can't do that.
We've had some fun, like, with me wearing the Islanders jersey and all that stuff. And because I had somebody bring this up to me yesterday while I was ripping Strahan. It was off the air.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, okay, you wore the Islanders jersey. I go, I'm not a Rangers legend. I'm a fan. I'm an entertainer. Like, Michael Strahan is a Giants legend. There's a big difference if you wear a Lindor jersey for a bit.
Pay off the bet.
Yeah, or I wear a Yankee jersey, which, by the way, you still got to make me pay off the bet.
Opening day.
Yeah, those are at the stadium?
Yes.
All right, those are different things than being, like, Strahan played for the Giants. He's an actual Giant legend spitting in the face of every Giant fan when you wave that flag.
What did Tiki say? I didn't see or hear any of Tiki's comments on this, and I need to know the answer.
I'd ask Hoff, but we might get bad info on that.
Wow. Hey, Hoff.
Hoff, did you hear what Tiki said?
I did not. I heard what Tommy said.
Well, yeah, I know Tommy's going on, but I care about what Tiki said.
Loogie!
I mean, listen, okay. We all have our opinions. Luka didn't play for the Giants. I want to know what Tiki said. I want to know, like, did Tiki... there's no way. I can't imagine. Now, Tiki has a very different delivery. You know, he's not like a nutball like we get sometimes. Yep. He's just different. And he's just a different speed. He's a great dude. I would be surprised and disappointed if Tiki took the position of Amani.
Right.
Like, I would need to hear. I don't mean you go nuts over the top.
Yeah,
but at least on some level, let everybody know that that's not cool. You can't be doing this.
I would bet that he had, that he went against Strahan because Tiki, remember, when Saquon left, Tiki was the one who said, you're dead to us.
Yeah, he was. He was kidding when he said that. But no, he said what people were thinking.
But I'm saying being one with the Giant fan as opposed to spitting in the face of the Giant fan like Michael Strahan did.
No doubt. Listen, and I can see, like, especially like when you and I first started TV, like when we were young.
Yeah.
Like, there's not that you ever do anything you don't want to do, but maybe you get pulled into a bit. You're like, all right, maybe the producer thinks it's great and it's actually idiotic, but because you're on TV for 6 months, you don't really know enough to, you know, or even if you know it, maybe you don't have the confidence to kind of tap the brakes because you don't have that kind of juice yet. What the hell does Strahan have to do that for?
Yeah.
He gets $30 million a year. He's a TV superstar. Why would you do that?
That's exactly right. And that's kind of what I'm saying about, like, what does he gained from that. He's already got it all.
He lost respect. He gained nothing. He lost respect is what happened.
He's got it all.
And rightfully so.
And ticked off the fans that love him, that built him into the star that he became.
Yep.
BT and Sal on the Fan. And I'm not taking away from him, but God, that was just stupid, Stray. Come on, man. Should know better. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll get back to your calls when we come back. We're getting some baseball in the conversation. We'll have Howard Reynolds on coming up next hour. BT, start to get cooking a little bit.
Seeing the videos.
It is the week of spring training.
Everybody's showing up.
Yankees pitchers and catchers reporting today. So we'll talk to Harold Reynolds next hour and get our thoughts on the Mets and Yanks as well. BT and Sal on the Fan.